We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You have to stay at it. You have to be consistent with your approach. Things aren't always going to be perfect. There's going to be down times and there's going to be up times. You know, we try to stress is 1 week really has nothing to do with the next week. And it's true. I mean, look around the league. You know, everybody thinks certain teams should beat other teams. This is a National Football League. There's 32 teams in this league. Some really good football coaches and really good players. And you have to be at your best every week.
Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll. Going to get to our Western hotline here and bring in Chris Brown, lead journalist, BuffaloBills.com, who, by the way, has provided for me the stat of the day that I will use today. The Bills have been, I was reading Chris's column with some numbers about the Bills through week 13. The Bills 9-3 after 12 games for the 11th time in the history of their franchise. The previous 10 times, they made the playoff every time. So 100% success rate in terms of playoff berth when you get to 9-3. With that, we bring in Chris Brown, lead journalist, BuffaloBills.com, joining us on a Western Hotline. Good morning, Chris. It's Howard and Jeremy. How are you?
Doing okay. Good morning.
So leave your January month, no vacations, no time off. You better leave it open right now at this point, okay?
Yeah, that's right. Fine by me, man.
You know, here's the thing, Chris. We're talking about the Bills for the first time in who knows how long, having a clinching scenario where they don't need help. And not only that, but we're talking about it in week 14. Couldn't tell you the last. I mean, I'm sure it's somewhere in the 90s, obviously, that happened.
Yeah, it's rare for sure. It's probably 99, I think, when they went 11-5. But yeah, it's a different kind of conversation. And there is unquestionably a buzz around town. Just people I've crossed paths with over the last 4 or 5 days. It is the topic du jour, how well the Bills are doing. And obviously the exposure that they got, not only nationally, but even locally. I mean, I think even more than the normal population of Bills fans took in last week's game because it was on Thanksgiving and they weren't doing anything else but sitting around with family. So I think that's only kind of pumped it up another notch or two and has the excitement getting to a fevered pitch, especially with the magnitude of this week's game to follow.
And Chris, this week's matchup, you know, I'm thinking back to all the opponents so far. Baltimore is not only good, but they're good on both sides of the ball. You know, you've got some teams that, if it's Dallas, it's about stopping their offense. If it's New England this year, it's about how good their defense is, even though their offense has been okay. With Baltimore, their defense is playing well, and their offense is, of course, playing well. So it's almost like, not quite pick your poison, but with this Bills matchup against Baltimore, I've got to see the best the Bills have on both sides of the ball. They probably can't just win it with one.
Right. I would say it's safe to argue this is the most complete team they've faced this season. Even their special teams has had an uptick in improvement the last couple of weeks. The addition of DeAnthony Thomas, who they picked up off waivers from Kansas City, has been a shot in the arm to their return game. So they're a complete team that has actually even made some improvements here in recent weeks. You look at their resume of victories, it is impressive. I saw that Howard had tweeted that out yesterday, and it is 100% accurate. I mean, Seattle, San Francisco, I mean, they're playing the NFC West this year, and they mopped the floor with the Rams, and who I believe is still a good football team, but has kind of lost their way a little bit. But to beat Seattle and then to hand San Francisco, who many people believe is the most complete team in the NFC, when you have those teams on your resume on your 8-game winning streak, you have to be impressed.
Chris, what about the Bills in terms of becoming a more complete team? The defense has been there. The offense is now finally catching up. And for the most part, you know, there was some kick coverage issues weeks ago and Hauschka, but Bohorquez has been better. Roberts has been better. So special teams is coming around. Where are the Bills on the scale of becoming that complete team?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're on their way.
I think they'd be the first to tell you they're not there yet. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what Coach said right after they beat Dallas. In the post-game press conference, he's saying, you know, we're on the right track, we're making the right improvements, but we're still not where we want to be yet. And I'm thinking, dang, all right, 9-3,
yeah,
still not where we want to be. But I just think that's just the way that Coach is wired, and the team has kind of followed suit. He's just really big on daily self-improvement, as I'm sure you've heard that messaging time and again when you talk to him on a weekly basis. But it's not just coach speak. He lives it and breathes it. And I think his players realize that too, and they've kind of adopted that approach also. And now that they're seeing the results, I think they're going to be even more motivated to stick to that plan.
And you know what, with that, Chris, and I'm not, I mean, he's right. I mean, they it's not like they're playing perfect football, so there is room for improvement. But don't you also think, like you said, the buzz about this team, I'm sure the guys, you know, everybody in the community is patting him on the back and saying great things, and McDermott has to make sure his guys stay grounded. They haven't accomplished anything. They haven't clinched a playoff berth yet. With everybody giving all these plaudits to you, I think part of him saying that is to make sure his guys don't get too carried away with all the praise they're getting.
Right, and that's what you have to guard against, and that's part of what's been an issue for teams that have gotten off to fast starts here in Buffalo in the past. I mean, we can run through the list of them, you know, whether it was 3-0 in 2011, 5-2 in 2008, and complacency set in, and those seasons went up in smoke. Granted, there were some other factors in some of those examples, but still in all, I think Coach is very, very in tune with the complacency word. I think it's a word he detests, and so I think there shouldn't be an overwhelming amount of concern that this team is suddenly going to feel like they've arrived, because their coaching staff won't let them think that way.
Chris Brown with us from BuffaloBills.com, 803-0550 to join us. Chris, specifically the offense and the improvement over the last three games post-Cleveland, what are the reasons for that, in your opinion?
I think what happened was the offense finally gelled. Everybody was waiting for it. We had reached midseason, and we had not seen conclusive evidence of it. And then all of a sudden it just clicked into gear. I think they found something they liked. They decided to ride it. And, you know, Dable going upstairs, I think he just sees the field just the way he watches film all week. And I think he gets answers quicker in terms of what he wants to go to next. And I think in turn that helps Josh, because now Josh is kind of processing things too. And quite frankly, guys, and I don't know how much this has been spoken about, but I know I addressed it with Sal and Eric on the pregame show last week. When you're staying largely in one personnel grouping the whole time, it's easier to call your plays too. And then secondarily, it's easier for Josh to know what he's looking at, because the personnel grouping's not changing.
Right.
There's only so many ways you can spin the dial defensively when you can't get people off the field and back on the field with substitutions. So for Brian Dable, calling it's easier. For Josh Allen, seeing and diagnosing and knowing what you're doing post-snap is easier. And the execution, in turn, has come along with both of those things. So I think that's why we're seeing this uptick in execution on the part of the offense, and better point production, better third down conversion rate. So all across the board, things are up. So I anticipate that they're going to continue with that. The only concern for me is, when does a defensive coach have an answer for that to force him out of it? We haven't seen it yet. Eventually, defenses kind of catch up. So it'll be interesting to see how long this run lasts this way before the Bills may have to tweak or change course a little bit.
And maybe throughout this, Chris, what you get out of Josh Allen is a little bit more confidence. And, you know, as you break down what the offense is, how it might be simpler, or it's just easier to know what's out there, maybe that would be a factor in allowing him to play fearless, as the coaches said they want him to do, play fearless or play free, whatever. Because it seems like a couple weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago, it looked like we were watching Allen manage games. And now it looks like we're watching him play more the style he did at the end of last year, where he's out there making plays and not exactly trying to, I'm not saying like square peg round hole, but just it seems like he's playing a little bit more freely with the new changes.
Yeah, I think there's confidence and peace of mind in what he's seeing out on the field. And if he has that down and believes he does, well, he's already got half the battle won before he even snaps the ball. The place where his game had to come together, because even early in the season, he had demonstrated he had made improvements in his pre-snap recognition. And a lot of times he was getting them into the right plays. The problem was post-snap, sometimes things would change and it would cross him up a bit. And I think, you know, in this transformation that we've seen of the offense over the last 3 weeks, what we've witnessed is a merging of Josh Allen's pre-snap and post-snap game. They've come together, and we're seeing the results of what that can be when he can kind of merge those two mental sides of his game together, because it helps him execute so much better.
Having said all of that, we were just talking about this, Chris. You're always talking with Josh about taking the next step. And I think post-Cleveland, he and the offense, as you talked about a moment ago, have taken the next step. Now you want to talk about another step. Look at the challenges that he and the offense will face in the next three games with Baltimore, the night game in Pittsburgh, and then New England, whose defense has been saving them all season long.
Yeah, and I think what's going to help this team is, to a large degree, even when they weren't winning games last year, they were in a lot of tight games. And this year they've been in some tight games too. I mean, you can even point to the Cleveland game. And it was a tight game all the way through. The Tennessee game, tight game all the way through. So in a weird way, some of those offensive struggles that forced them to grind through games to try to win them, I think may actually serve them well here going forward, because, you know, scoring points the way they have may not come as easily as they face stiffer competition now this week, and probably against the Patriots defense, and even the Pittsburgh defense, which looks vastly improved.
Yep.
It's almost as if you're going to have playoff preview-type football these next few weeks, and I think that's a healthy thing, because very often the teams that light up the scoreboard and are blowing teams out, they get to the playoffs and suddenly scoring's a lot harder, and sometimes those teams can't adjust in the span of one football game, and bang, they're out of the playoffs, they're upset, something like that. I think the Bills, even though their schedule was easy, I just think the nature of their games has helped to battle test them, and obviously these next 3 weeks will take that even further.
Chris, one final thing before we let you go. We spent all this time about the offense, and yet, I think Sunday's matchup is fascinating. I was really interested to listen to Leslie Frazier with you guys yesterday, because he's really got his work cut out for him. So whether it was Leslie talking about Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, or when you guys had a chance to talk to the players, what are you hearing from them in terms of how you go about trying to do what other teams have not been able to do for the most part, and that is keep the Ravens offense in check?
Yeah, I mean, I think what Leslie and Coach McDermott both said yesterday that really rings true is the fact that this is an offensive scheme that you usually don't come across. You know, their use of three tight ends, wishbone kind of looks, blocking schemes coming out of that backfield with those tight ends. I mean, nobody really has that depth of personnel at that position that can execute all of those things. So you can prepare for it as much as you want during the week and have your scout team line up and show you all the looks. It's still going to be a shock at the start of the game, because when you get out on that field and it's coming at you at 150 miles an hour, and the Bills practice at game speed, maybe as good as any team in the league, but it is still a shock when you get out on the field, and it's a matter of how quickly can you adjust. And then to take it a step further, for Coach Frazier and Coach McDermott and the rest of the defensive staff, the challenge is how complex do we get to have answers for our players to stop this,
right,
while also not clouding their minds and keeping them from playing fast, which might be one of the best assets this team has on defense, their team speed, especially at the second level.
I thought that was a really interesting question. You're right. That was posed to Frazier yesterday. You know, you don't want to overdo it, because you do want them not thinking so much about all the different things that have been thrown into my brain, how to stop the Ravens, and then you get yourself in trouble by overanalyzing and overthinking things. It was a good point.
And I just, the one comment that I came away with from, you know, him and Dable and Coach Frazier talking yesterday was, Coach McDermott, at the end of one of his comments, he just took a breath after he finished giving an answer, about Lamar, and he finished, and then he inhaled again, and he said, "He's just so fast."
Yeah.
And really, guys, it is that simple. He's just such an elite athlete. I think I saw some number out there online this morning where they were saying he's got more runs of 15 miles per hour or more than anybody in football, and he's got like 67 or 68, and the next closest guy is like 40. He's just special. And it's just, I mean, he's going to make some plays. You're just going to try to minimize them because to this point, nobody's proven that they can really stop him. He had one of the best defenses in football against him last week in a rainstorm, and he still had over 100 yards rushing. So it's going to be the supreme test for sure.
You can read Chris's work at BuffaloBills.com. You should follow him on Twitter at ChrisBrownBills, and you can hear him on our pregame show on game days here on WGR. As always, Chris, thanks for giving us some time this morning, and enjoy the game Sunday.
Yeah, you got it. You're going to enjoy a story I got going up today.
What do you got?
About a little bit of a youth football rematch between a player on the Ravens side and a pretty prominent player on the Bills side. It's the first time they're going to play each other since youth football.
Wow. All right. So, I'll keep an eye out for it. Good stuff.
Yeah,
thanks.
Should be up later this morning, yeah.
Okay. I will check it out. Thank you, as always, for your time, Chris.
You got it, guys.
Nice to talk to you. Chris Brown, good dude and a knowledgeable person. Love reading his work at the Bills website. Saves me a lot of research, too. 803-0550 to join us.
Have you seen the finalists, the defensive back finalists for the NFL all-time team?
You know, I haven't been following this the way I thought I would. It's partly Dutch Clark, but I think it's you get to these lists and there's so many guys that I just have never seen play, and it's really hard for me to like get into a really good debate because like a lot of these guys on all these lists are like from way back when, and I have no idea like how do you put them in context with what I've seen.
Well, all right, we'll get to that in a second. You're tired of way back when. There is one player.
This is cornerbacks
or safeties.
Okay. Yep.
They will pick 7 corners and 6 safeties from this list.
Okay.
There's one active player. Who is it? Defensive back, cornerback, or safety, one active player has made the list that could make the all-time team. There are 30 defensive back finalists, one current player.
Richard Sherman.
No. Wait, hold on. Let me scroll and see a few more because maybe I didn't see him. No, Richard Sherman is not on this list.
I was thinking it's a corner. I'm trying to think of a safety.
Patrick Peterson.
Very good.
Patrick Peterson. How Richard Sherman's not on this?
I thought he would be.
I thought he would be too.
Yeah.
Here are your cornerback finalists. Herb Adderley.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Green Bay Packers maybe or Bears. Okay. I forget. I don't know.
There are some modern guys.
I've actually heard of his name.
Your modern guys. Champ Bailey.
Okay.
Darryl Green is modern-ish. Mm-hmm. Patrick Peterson, Darrell Revis, Deion Sanders, Aeneas Williams, Charles Woodson, and Rod Woodson.
It's a good list.
That's Rod Woodson listed as a corner.
He played
switched
both.
To safety?
Yeah.
Also on this list, the finalists at corner, Mel Renfro, Dick Knight Train Lane, Jimmy Johnson.
Not the coach.
Mike Haynes, Willie Brown, Mel Blount, Lem Barney.
I think if they named an island after you, you got to make the all-time team.
Revis Island?
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
I believe that like when you get to that point, you make the team.
Your safety finalists, the NFL all-time team. Jack Christensen, Brian Dawkins, Kenny Easley, Ken Houston, Paul Krause, Yale Larry, Ronnie Lott, Troy Polamalu, Ed Reed, Johnny Robinson, Donnie Shell, Emlyn Tunnell, Larry Wilson, and Willie Wood.
Okay.
It's tough.
Like half of those. I'm like, huh? Who?
They also
Wikipedia?
Revealed,
what?
Right. They also revealed, shout out to Chris Brown, knowing the special teams of Baltimore and the guy they picked up, and special teams finalists.
Tasker's got to be on this list, right?
Kicker finalists. Morten Anderson. Yeah. Morten Anderson.
Yeah.
Lou Groza.
Oh,
Jan Stenerud.
Yeah.
Adam Vinatieri. Punter finalists. Ray Guy. Yale Larry. Shane Leckler. Jarrell Wilson.
No Reggie Roby? I don't know why his name is
kick and punt return finalists.
Devin Hester
is right. Mel Gray, Billy White Shoes Johnson.
Oh, sure.
And Brian Mitchell.
Okay.
And that's it.
No Tasker, huh?
There is no
coverage specialists?
No. The team apparently will not have coverage specialists.
No Dante
Steve.
Hall either?
No Dante Hall.
Dang.
So those are your finalists for special teams and defensive backs.
I feel bad for Steve. Emlyn Tunnel? Was it Tunnel?
It was one of them.
Emlyn, I never heard of the guy, but I'll vote for him. 803-0550 to join us. We get a break. We'll do pick the Bills when we get back.
Oh, you got to pick the Bills, too.
You know, I'm trying to be on time.
You just snuck it by me. Didn't say anything, I probably would have forgotten.
Oh, no, because you know what? He wouldn't have forgotten.
All right. We'll pick the Bills when we get back. Before that, I've got a very quick message for Ralph Krueger from Happy Gilmore.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Get you some headlines before Howard picks the Bills. Sabres win last night, 7-1. A outpouring of scoring. And Victor Olofsson scored. He vaporized the puck. Rasmus Asplund scored. He can stay, by the way. He's not going back, right? He's staying. Connor Sherry gets a pair.
You don't even have to bring that up as a question, right?
I know. Jack Eichel, a goal and two assists. Another three-point game for Eichel. He's tied with McDavid and Dreisaitl for the most of those. He's on a 10-game point streak. Sabres play at Calgary Thursday. Kyle Poso skated at practice yesterday. And Rasmus Dahlin not on the verge of return. So he's working his way back. Bills, of course, host the Ravens this week. They clinch a playoff spot if they beat Baltimore and the Bucks, Broncos, and Titans win. If that happens, the Bills lock up a spot. We just don't know which spot. 37-30, Seattle beats Minnesota. On Monday Night Football, Seattle now top spot in the NFC West. Jags named Gardner Minshew their starter the rest of the season. Canisius lost to Hofstra. Bana beat Florida Atlantic. Those are your sports headlines.
Let's check your NHL standings after last night's action. The Sabres now with 31 points in 28 games, a record of 13-10-5. That has them third in the division. Actually, tied for second, I should say, because Florida has 31 points as well. Toronto's right behind at 30. Montreal 28, Tampa 27. Those are your top six in the Atlantic. Forget about Boston. They're in a different zip code right now. The Sabres, as Jeremy mentioned, are going to head out to Western Canada, if you're wondering about their opponents on this trip. They will play Calgary on Thursday, and the Flames have 30 points this season, so one behind Buffalo. They will play Vancouver Saturday afternoon, 4 o'clock. I think I like that. I guess I'll pull myself away from college football. So they play Vancouver. They have 30 points, and then they wrap the trip up Sunday night in Edmonton. And the Oilers lead the Pacific Division with 37 points. Your updated NHL standings brought to you by Arthur Pressman, Western New York's traffic and DWI attorney, your ticket to justice.
So real quick before you pick the Bills, I woke up this morning and I thought about the Sabres and, you know, what's going on with them. We were very mad at them a couple weeks ago because they lost a lot of games and nobody was scoring and they didn't seem to be doing anything about it. And I wanted Jeff Skinner on Jack Eichel's line, and that didn't happen in Skinner's scoring. And now Victor Olofsson has started to score at even strength, mm-hmm. which is something that, for everybody that points out in Rochester, he started by scoring on the power play. Brayton said this a bunch. Hmm. And then came the even strength, and then he was fine.
Okay.
So I woke up and I thought about how, you know, wanted this to happen, wanted the move to be made. It wasn't made, and Ralph Krueger looks pretty good right now for sticking with Olofsson. So as I was thinking about that this morning, I thought about Happy Gilmore. You've seen the movie Happy Gilmore?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. When he's apologizing to Chubbs, he needs Chubbs' help.
Line, yeah.
I'm going to play it for you here. This is my message to Ralph Krueger regarding Victor Olofsson on the top line, courtesy of Happy Gilmore.
I'm stupid. You're smart. I was wrong. You were right. You're very good looking. I'm not attractive. You're the best. I'm the worst.
I think that says it all. I think that wraps it up nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's worked
I'm
out.
I'm stupid.
It's worked
you're
out well.
Smart.
Look, I mean, you're not the only one who's sitting there going, just put Skinner on the line.
Well,
now Skinner's playing well with Larson.
Sure, it's all working. My point at that time was simply balance does not matter. Scoring matters. And
he's scoring now.
Now they're scoring. So right. It's fine. I withdraw my complaint. If you're not scoring, you don't need balance. You need scoring. That was it then. And if they're scoring, I'm not going to say anything because every time they put the old crooked hockey stick up there, the seven on the board, no complaints.
It's now, I want to say, I looked at the numbers earlier. I think it's 24 even strength goals in the last seven games, something like that. They're not leaning on their power play. So we know that for sure. It was 1-for-38 before Jukka Harju's goal last night. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. All right, we'll go to break. We're done.
Time
right?
to pick
show's
the Bills.
Over. Is the show over? We
These
done?
Aren't even as fun later in the year because there's not
less,
that many games.
Games.
You got four games to
what
go.
Else, what else can we pick? Like how many beers you're going to have pregame? What other storylines can we put
in? There is a little tweak that we're going to be doing this time around, so I hope you're ready for it.
A tradition unlike any other.
Come on.
Yes,
I'm leaving.
Let's do it. Nope. Let's do it.
It's time for Howard to pick the
Bills. Cowboys. Thursday.
Turkey. Pie. I'm going to take a win for the Bills on Thursday.
A win for the Bills. And hey. We are thankful for you, sir.
A little flip. They're going around. Oh. End around. They're going to throw it. John Brown trying to fire it downfield. He's got Singletary. He's got the catch. Touchdown.
Picking the Bills. It means absolutely nothing.
Right.
It's just fun.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Let me just clarify. It's not fun picking the Bills. I mean, I think it's just an extra. Okay, you know, go ahead.
I mean, you're trying to say it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything.
I feel like you've been motivating the Bills.
I'm going to pick which receiver throws a touchdown pass this week.
I think they're winning because of your belief in them.
Well, you know, I didn't want to have to brag, but clearly,
yeah,
you know, I was on board a long time ago.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. You're going to pick the Bills. I'm going to use the ESPN playoff machine. I'm not going to have you pick every single game. I'm just going to let the teams that are the higher win percentage are winning all the other games. We're picking the Bills game.
Not picking Miami and Cincinnati whenever they're playing.
Right, right. Okay. You're going to pick the Patriots to win. Okay, so Bills, home, Baltimore, game of the millennium.
Wow. Yeah, I guess it
what's
would
longer
be.
Than a millennium?
What's
10,000 years called?
The decalennium?
It's probably
something?
Decennium?
Decalennium?
This is a mistake. All right, so anyway...
Deca.
What do you call 10,000 years? Hey, I'm Googling it. You pick.
Well, I'm Googling decalennium.
You pick.
Okay, it didn't really come up. So it's probably, I don't think that's a word. I got something about sulfur.
There's a
sulfur.
There's a Greek word here that I'm not going to try to pronounce. So anyway.
Decalennium, deca. Anyway, I'm sorry. What was the question?
Bills, Ravens.
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 Here's my question to you. If the Bills are going to win the football game, how many points do you think they need to score? What gets it done for Buffalo Sunday?
Gets it done or to have a reasonable chance?
No, what gets it done? To win the game Sunday, the Bills will have to put up.
Well, again, there's have a chance or there gets it done. Gets it done?
Gets
50.
It done.
50 gets it done.
Okay, well, then I guess right. I phrased it the
have
wrong way.
Have a chance
way.
For me to be satisfied with their offense? 28.
Okay.
They have to go season high in offensive points. Their season high is 31, right? And they got a Micah Hyde touchdown.
37, Miami.
Oh, 37, okay. Think, right? In the second game against Miami, yeah. That's right. All right, hey, they can do it then. 37's the answer.
Okay, I'm going to pick the Ravens then.
Yeah.
I don't think they're getting 37.
Well, it's funny. This is one of those games where I just live in, you know, whatever. You have your opinion, think what you want. I live in a different world than some. I don't think about how are the Bills going to stop Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
I think about how are they going to keep up. That's my focus this week. If they stop Jackson, if they do what San Francisco did, that is a success. And your offense will need to do the work. San Francisco's offense is good. They had success running the ball against Baltimore. The Ravens, outside the tackles, apparently give up big, good chunk yards. Mm-hmm. So look for
edge
Singletary
runs.
Out there and edge runs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about when I go into this game, not stopping Jackson, but how to have more.
Yeah. See, I'm worried about the have more part, so I'm definitely going into the game thinking, can you keep them to 20 or less? Because I'm not confident the Bills can get to 28 or whatever the number would be. I think it is you're going to have to stop Lamar Jackson and that offense in some way, shape, or form. So, sure. Anyway, it's a long way of picking Baltimore.
Did you know that a period of 5 years is called a lustrum?
Nope.
Moving on.
Have you figured out 10,000 yet?
Still, I've found another word that I'm, again, not going to try to pronounce.
I think decalennium is now the word for it, even though it doesn't exist. I'm going to – can you – who do I apply to create words?
So you have the Ravens. Week 15, Bills at Steelers in the Sunday night affair. Prime time. You know what?
Duck. Can you beat the duck?
I'm doing the old pointing to the finger meme. Can't complain about not showing Bills highlights on Sunday Night Football if they're on Sunday Night Football. You're going to see Bills highlights on Sunday Night Football. Anyway, Bills Steelers.
So the Greek word.
Oh, my God. What?
How do you pronounce M-Y-R-I-O-I?
Bills or Steelers.
That's the Greek word for 10,000. Bills.
Bills.
They'll beat the duck. They can handle the duck.
Duck Hodges.
Duck Hodges, assuming he's still starting quarterback, which I assume he would be for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I just got to make sure that the Bills have some success against a good Pittsburgh defense. I like it. I think there'll be a lot of Bills fans in the crowd at Heinz Field, and the Bills will rise to the occasion, get a big primetime victory. I mean, if you're making me stay up till 11:30 at night, you better win the freaking football game.
Win over Pittsburgh. Week 16, Bills at Patriots.
So I'm looking into some stats that I saw about Tom Brady and the Patriots in December. And since Brady got there, they are 36-4 at home in December. And two of those four losses were one was against the Bills in the meaningless regular season finale. So two of the four losses were Brady plays no more than a half because they didn't have anything to play for. So in Tom Brady's entire career, they've lost two meaningful home games in December. I think they'll beat the Chiefs. So make it three. I'll take the Bills to win in Foxborough.
Wow. Bills win in Foxborough, in Gillette.
Tom Brady goes home to his wife, reexamines his life, and realizes this is my last year of football.
Week 17. Now you have it where if the Dolphins and Fitzmagic somehow
Pull the upset. Yeah, that'd be sweet, huh?
You know what would be funny here, though? If, again, you're going to pick the Bills to beat the Jets?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Bills. Mm-hmm. If you flip that game and you get a miracle where the Dolphins win at New England.
So there are, what are they, 12-4 tie? No, 12-4 tie.
12-4.
And the Bills get the tiebreaker with the division record, right?
They do.
And the Bills are the 2 seed? Or?
Well, again, on the ESPN playoff machine, I just picked the better team wins all the games.
Right.
Houston.
Houston is the 2?
Houston is the 2.
Really? Are they 12-4 in this scenario, I assume, and they
Houston,
win a tiebreaker?
Houston is the 2.
Huh.
And the Bills, I mean, I think.
So they'd be the 3.
Whatever. However I just did this, it came out Houston is the 2, and the Bills are the 3.
Hosting the 6, which would be
Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
So a rematch of a team you did just beat.
Yeah.
Bills-Steelers.
And the first home playoff game
since
1996. Yeah.
Again, that's only...
You're welcome, by the way.
That's only if the Patriots lose to the
Dolphins. By the way, just so you know, that's your Christmas gift. I'm not getting you anything this year. This was your Christmas gift.
So we're not going to do that because the Patriots are not expected to lose to the Dolphins. So instead, the Bills are the 5 seed. You have them at 12-4 and a 5 seed.
Wow. How many times has a 5 seed been 12-4?
Yeah. At Kansas City, 11-5.
Yeah. Oh, am I picking that?
Yes.
I'm going to need more money. This is overtime. I'll take a win.
Win. Bills to the divisional round. Real quick, I need to know who won Pittsburgh-Houston so I can set up the next matchup.
Houston.
Houston wins. Okay, so they go to Bills. At Baltimore, the rematch, in the divisional round.
Heartbreaking last second loss. No, I don't know. I'll just take, I would lose. I would pick them to lose that game.
Lose.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, they're only going to lose 2 more games the rest of the year, and both are going to be Baltimore.
The eventual Super Bowl champions.
Wow.
Can I go home now?
I mean, you just sent the Bills home for losing to Baltimore. Hope you're proud of yourself.
Wow. Wow.
You could have just...
Here come all the negative tweets.
Yeah, right.
Really, Howard? You got us into the playoffs.
I can't believe you're not going to the AFC title game.
12-4. You have us losing to Baltimore in the divisional round? I can't wait for these tweets. This
12-4 and a trip to the divisional round.
We're happy with how that season plays out, right? What do you think? You're okay with that?
Yeah. Listen, you just did a thing that I would never do. I
pick him to beat New England.
I made a vow. Yeah. I made a solemn vow that as long as Tom Brady walks the earth in that uniform, I will never pick the Bills to beat that team. Doesn't mean I think they can't. I'm just not ever going to speak the words again.
Yeah. Be pretty cool if it happened. So, hey, yeah, Kansas City beat New England and let the Bills be the team that breaks their home winning streak at 20, whatever it is.
Are you feeling good? You in a good mood?
Depends. What's your question?
I'm going to give you a little. I'm going to give you one news item, and I want to see your reaction live and in person.
Please don't tell me there's a rumor the Mets are trading Alonso.
No, but you're in the right. You're in the right sport, God, and this will ruin you.
Oh no, I'm in the right sport, huh?
Yeah, baseball. According to Ken Rosenthal, the Yankees are going to meet with both Garrett Cole and Steven Strasburg.
Yeah, right. Of course they are. Why not? Of course they are. And people wonder why people hate the Yankees. Right. They're not going to get one of those two. Are they going to sign both now? They're both going to make like $200 million. Really? Cole and Strasburg with that lineup? Please. Just child, please. God, please. No. Anything but that. Please.
I'm going to have you picking the Yankees coming up in April.
I would just give them the World Series now. They're going to win 130 games. That's disgusting. Rob Manfred should step in and prohibit that from happening.
Step in and
have some
stop
kind
this.
Of rule and stop the Yankees from signing both of those guys.
They're just going to meet him. That's all.
Right.
And, you know, Garrett Cole, come on. What's he done lately?
Oh, yeah. No, he was terrible this year. What did he go from, like, May to October without losing a game?
What happened in his last game?
Yeah, well, but he had gone, like, 5 months without a loss.
Hey, what have you done for me lately, man?
Strasburg's, he's fair to Midland.
Didn't he lose his last start?
Might have.
Look at these. He's picking up all these losers. I don't know if he lost his last
start. They're going to spend like $500 million on two pitchers. That'll be great.
Pretty good.
All right, 803-0550 to join us. Brian Baldinger, radio.com NFL Insider, joins us at the top of the hour to talk about the Bills on WGR. So, as long as we're in the prediction business, if the playoffs started today, the Bills would not be the 2 seed waiting for the divisional round. They would be the 5 seed. Here are your AFC matchups. Baltimore's the 1 right now, New England's the 2. They get the first round bye. So, your AFC matchups would be Pittsburgh at Houston, Bills at Kansas City. Who are you picking? Bills at Chiefs and Pittsburgh at Houston.
What am I picking these for?
This is the playoffs right now as they match up today.
You just did this. You just picked the Bills.
You get to pick them.
No, that's your job.
It's the playoff matchups. It's not just the Bills. It's also Pittsburgh-Houston. I'll give you the NFC in a second.
I think
the NFC changed overnight.
I would take Houston. Houston's had some playoff wins over some crazy bad quarterbacks, right? Or did they have them with bad quarterbacks?
I thought it was with
T.J. Yates won a game for them.
He's definitely one of their names.
Or who was the quarterback for the Bengals when they played
Cincinnati, right? Didn't they beat the Raiders with, like, Connor Cook or the kid Matt McGloin or something like that?
Who knows?
I feel like have
the Texans had the most forgettable postseason?
Yeah, I couldn't name a – I can't actually recall it. I'm sure they've won a game, obviously. I can't recall, like, a Houston win at the top of my head. Check it. Check out – they would have lost to the Raiders. No, they would have beat the Raiders 1 year, and I'm pretty sure the Raiders were playing either Matt McGloin or Connor Cook or somebody at quarterback. Carr was injured.
They are 3-5 in postseason history.
Beat the Bengals once, maybe?
They beat the Raiders. They beat the Bengals twice. Yeah.
I guess Dalton had to be in one of those games, at least.
I think that Bengals game was not Andy Dalton.
No, huh?
Maybe not. I'll find out. But, yeah, they've lost to the Patriots, the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Patriots, and the Colts. Very unimpressive playoff resume. I mean, granted, they had a bunch of playoff games.
They've never made it past the divisional round.
No,
then, right?
That's right. That's right. Never an AFC championship game.
Yeah. Despite making playoffs all those years.
And I'm going to go find their wins here. And then declare that they don't count because the quarterbacks
see
they
the
beat
quarterbacks
are no good.
They beat. Yeah, it's just it's a kind of interesting question.
They beat a 9-7 Bengals team that had who was their quarterback that day? Whoever it was did not throw a touchdown pass. I can tell you that. All right, team stats for who that was. Boy. Yeah, okay, it was Andy Dalton.
Okay.
Andy Dalton, 0 touchdowns, 3 picks.
Yeah.
257 in that game. That's the Texans' first franchise playoff win. It was 2011. 2012, they beat the Bengals again. I think this is the game where it's not Andy Dalton. I'm almost positive that, like, that they have a game where...
Bengals-Texans, January 7th, 2012.
Maybe I'm thinking
or is
of...
this the 2011 season?
No, it was Dalton again. 14 of 30, 127, and no touchdowns and a pick. Yeah. Hey, speaking of the Texans, Jadeveon Clowney is in Seattle, and he looks pretty good, looks fun. I like the Seattle uniforms from last night.
I don't like them. I don't like that shade.
They're neon.
Yeah, I'm not
I'm good with it.
Although, you know what? Does Oregon have that shade, too? Or is Oregon use a different shade? I feel like there's an Oregon uniform that was kind of close to the CX, but I tuned in last night, and I'm just not a fan of that color with their uni last night. 803-0550 to join us. So the Bills are 9-3. We're going to get a national perspective on the Bills from Brian Baldinger, radio.com NFL insider, who's going to join us in a moment.
He does great stuff on Twitter. I tweeted out one of his breakdowns of Ed Oliver from the Cowboys game. So he's doing it for a lot of different guys around the league, and it's always really cool to watch.
A couple weeks ago, I think he was here for the Denver game. He did something about Trey White. I think he did a breakdown about Trey White's game after he faced Cortland Sutton. So we'll talk about that and more in our next segment. Before we go to break, let's give something away. We've got a $50 gift card to Tim Hortons. General contest rules apply. 644-9878 is the number to call. Again, 644-9878. Caller number 5. You win yourself a $50 gift card to Tim Hortons.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.